Welcome to our Psalms of History series. We are currently looking at 1 Samuel chapter 23, and in the second half of the chapter, you have this really weird exchange, this story of the interactions of David and the Ziphites. David is in the wilderness of Ziph, and he's, I guess, running with this crew. They're in the region of Judea, his home turf. The Ziphites, apparently those that live in the wilderness of Ziph, have accepted David. They brought David into the fold. But then they send, I guess, representatives to King Saul to let Saul know, hey, David's hanging out with us and we'll hand him over to you. And then Saul's like, this sounds great. There's an accord, an agreement. Saul sends his armies, his troops. They're heading toward Ziph. While that's going on, some of the same people that have crossed David now double cross Saul, and they come to David and they're like, hey, just letting you know, Saul's on the way. Just this really weird exchange. And then David leaves and Saul calls off the expedition. It's a kind of a bizarre story. But David, in the middle of all this, again, dealing with real emotions, betrayal, uncertainty, he writes, I think, probably two psalms fit fairly well within this section of scripture. Psalm 54 without question, because the heading attributes it to this season of his life. And then I would also place Psalm 40 in the same area. So we're going to look at those two psalms as it relates to David and his time there in the wilderness of Ziph. Psalm 54, the heading is Answered Prayer for Deliverance from Adversaries, says to the chief musician, with stringed instruments, so that this was composed with music. And then we're told it's a compilation of David when the Ziphites went and said to Saul, is David not hiding with us? So that's kind of sets the stage for what is just a 7-verse psalm, short, but it begins, save me, O God, by your name, and vindicate me by your strength. Hear my prayer, O God, and give ear to the words of my mouth. David, the first two words sum up kind of his situation. He's been betrayed, been sold out. He says, save me. Save me, O God. And then he says, by your name. And anytime we find the name of God, it's kind of a description where it's a play on his reputation. Your name was your identity. He says, save me, O God, not because I deserve it, or because I've warranted it. He's saying, save me because of who you are, by your name, by your reputation. Everyone knows that you've anointed me. Everyone knows that your hand is on my life. You do this to prove yourself faithful and vindicate me. Hear my prayer. Give ear to the words of my mouth. And then why is he making this petition? Well, he kind of answers his rhetorical question in verse 3. He says, for strangers have risen up against me. I guess if you're known as the Ziphites, we could call you strangers. Strangers have risen up against me, and oppressors have sought after my life. They have not set God before them. Again, he had been kind of treated poorly by the Ziphites. He says, verse 4, behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with those who uphold my life. He will repay my enemies for their evil. Cut them off in your truth. Again, he praises the Lord for those that are on his side, but he also prays against those that have treated him poorly. But he doesn't take these things into his own hands. He places them into the hands of God. God will repay my enemies. I don't need to do anything. Then he closes it out. He says, I will freely sacrifice to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. For it is good. It's good. He's not making sacrifices. He's not praising for any other reason than that's the right thing to do. He's not trying to earn God's favor or trying to coax some type of blessing out of the Lord. He's not bartering with God to intervene. He says, I will sacrifice, I will praise. Why? For it's good. For he has delivered me out of all trouble, and my eyes have seen its desire upon my enemies. Again, Psalm 54, we can directly attribute to this season of David's life there, 1 Samuel. chapter 23. Psalms chapter 40 is not as cut and dry. We do know that Psalms 40 was written by David. We don't know when he wrote it. And yet, it's heading Psalm 40 again. It's faith preserving in trial. And we can imagine, again, David during this season of uncertainty, betrayal, he's on the run, that it's very likely that David would have written either this psalm or something similar. I think it's reflective of his heart. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my steps. As a result, he has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will hear it and fear, and will trust in the Lord. I love Psalm 40. You too famously wrote a song called 40, and it was right out of the scriptures here. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to hear my cry. I will sing a new song. He says, verse 4, he says, blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust. Blessed. Kind of a Bible term, right? Blessed. Blessed is the man. What does that mean? Well, I mean, practically, it's the man is blessed. But the word can be translated happy, joyous. He's blessed. Happy is the man that trusts, who makes the Lord his trust. He doesn't trust in other things. He doesn't trust in circumstances. He doesn't trust in others. He doesn't trust in finances or security. Happy is the man who makes the Lord his trust. The Lord is his trust, but note, blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust, who makes the decision to, who chooses to, who decides, the decisiveness of the will. Happy is that man who says, the Lord, I will trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts towards us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, are they not more that can be numbered? I love that. The thoughts towards us cannot be recounted. There is the sand of the seashore. Jeremiah 29:11, the thoughts of the Lord towards us are peace and not evil, to give us a future and a hope. How cool it is to think that the God of the universe, the Almighty God of all things, the creator of heaven and earth, thinks of you. David is contemplating that. It draws him to worship, to praise, to thanks, to adoration. It's not just that God made me, but God thinks about me. If I would declare all of these things, if I'd speak to them, more than can be numbered. He says in verse 6, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. No doubt David probably took this from that famous declaration that Samuel gave to King Saul when he had refused the order to destroy the Amalekites thoroughly, and there was Agag the king, and they had kept the choice lambs, and Saul's excuse was they were for offerings and sacrifices. And Samuel famously says, what sacrifice and offering, you know, the Lord doesn't, obedience is better than sacrifice. My ears you have opened, burnt offering and sin offering you do not require. God, you don't care about the things that I'm offering or the sacrifices that I'm making. So I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. I have proclaimed the good news of righteousness in the assembly. Indeed, I do not restrain my lips. O Lord, you yourself know I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. This section you can find attributed to Hebrews chapter 10, that the pre-incarnate Jesus declaring things of God before the incarnation, that he has come to proclaim the good news of righteousness in the assembly. very messianic in its context. Probably getting back to David and in his situation, he says, "Do not withhold your tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me so that I am not able to look up. There are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore, my heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. Make it your pleasure to intervene. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and brought to mutual confusion who seek to destroy my life. Let them be driven backwards and brought to dishonor who wish me evil. Let them be confounded because of their shame who say to me, 'Aha, aha.' Let all those who seek you rejoice," he closes, "and be glad in you. Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you." I love that. "Let such as love your salvation say continually, 'The Lord be magnified.' As for me," he says, "I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer." And then he closes it all out. He says, "Do not delay, O my God." And no doubt, as he's running from the Ziphites, and as words of Saul and his armies descending reach his ears, this expression, this cry, "Lord, I know you're thinking of me. I know I'm, you know, you have not lapsed in your attention. You know what's going on. Your thoughts of me are innumerable." And so he appeals for the Lord to deliver, for the Lord to act upon those thoughts, for his goodness, for his salvation. "Do not delay, O my God." Now, what a powerful just two psalms, giving us some insight into maybe the things that David was going through during this season of life emotionally. Again, casting his cares on the Lord, even in the midst of uncertainty. These songs reminding David of truths that would help him persevere and have trust and faith that God would work all things for his good. If you enjoyed these psalms, I encourage you to check out calvary316.tv/histories. You'll find not just the Bible study covering 1 Samuel 23, but also these psalms that were related to it. God bless.